Hello and welcome to Bad Pitches, the game show devoted to truly terrible television. I'm your host, Ned Airbar, and have we got a show for you. This episode, it's all about horror. Everything spooky, scary, and blood-curdlingly bad on TV. Our four contestants will pitch their absolute worst horror-themed show ideas. Then our network executive judges will give them some notes, and one unlucky pitcher will be eliminated. But they're not out of the game just yet. They'll be promoted and become an executive for the rest of the show, because the TV industry is all about failing upward. In round two, we'll spring a surprise game on the pitchers. Then after another elimination slash promotion, the remaining two pitchers will face off in our lightning round. The winner of this episode of Bad Pitches goes home with an apple, because God forbid someone give these kids something healthy while they're trick-or-treating. On this episode of Bad Pitches, we've got...
Hi, my name is Julia Young, and I once slept with the wrong twin.
I'm Rod, and I once decided not to play the trumpet because I was scared of getting a hernia.
Hi, I'm Pega, and I have been to 4 Star Trek conventions.
Hi, I'm Matt Nadastup, and I've come in second place in 2 stand-up comedy competitions.
Our network executive judges are Kotlo McGlynn and Matt Lee. Judges, what are you looking for from these horror-themed pitches today?
You know, I definitely want to be scared.
Yes.
I want to be spooked.
Yes.
I want to be a little bit on edge. I want to be anxious. So pretty much like my everyday vibe, but so like, just more focused on television.
Okay, to be honest, what I want to feel is the same feeling of when I went out in Reno, Nevada, and suddenly woke up at the wheel of my car going 85 miles per hour down the highway. And I want to feel that exact same feeling of like frightened, aroused.
Yeah.
Like that is the exact kind of feeling. And I think that, you know, is not that much of a reach.
All right, pitchers, not a tall order. Matt, you're going to go first.
In just a few short seasons, American Horror Story has made us rethink the potential for horror on TV. But who says horror has to be American? Next year, experience the pure terror of Canadian Horror Story, the show where chilly meets chilling. The season opens as Gordon and Maude McDonald, an ordinary Canadian couple, decide to fulfill their lifelong dream of opening a curling-themed bed and breakfast in beautiful Thunder Bay, Ontario. But their curling dreams turn to curdling screams one night when they're lying in bed and they hear an eerie voice rising from the floorboard saying, get out while you can, please, please, if you don't mind getting out. It turns out this picturesque mansion conceals a terrible secret. It was built on an ancient First Nations burial ground and is haunted by a myriad of restless spirits, including French fur trappers, fallen soldiers from the War of 1812, and former Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau. Will Gordon and Maude be able to banish these evil spirits back to hell without resorting to rudeness? Find out in Canadian Horror Story. The all-star, all-Canadian cast includes Dan Aykroyd, Pamela Anderson, and in the role of Pierre Trudeau, Seth Rogen. Thank you very much.
I have a question. Do you think the curling community will get behind this show?
Absolutely. They'll get behind and sweep.
So when my car finally stopped 75 miles outside of Reno, Nevada, I found myself in a desert, completely naked. And that moment that I felt is the same way I feel about this pitch, which is excited, a little bit confused, but mostly excited. So please tell me who you see hosting this show, because I think it's truly a host-driven show.
Every episode would have a host who kind of explains the premise of that episode. Of course, it's a scripted show, so the host seems a little extraneous. But I would say, get Jonathan Frakes, rebuild the set from Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction, and get him to introduce every episode with a series of cryptic puns.
Tell us more about, you know, Gordon and Maude. Like, I know you said Dan Aykroyd and Pamela Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you tell us about these characters?
Gordon spent his entire life working as a Tim Hortons franchise owner, and Maude spent her whole life as the owner of a different Tim Hortons franchise. Some would say that seems like a more interesting premise for a show, but not me.
Well, great. I'm satisfied. Let's move on.
Next up, Pega, let's hear what you got.
Count Ulrich has always had one lifelong dream, to work at K Jewelers. There's only one problem. The only position currently open is a day shift behind the silver counter, and Count Ulrich is, you guessed it, a vampire. In this inspiring coming-of-age story, watch as Count Ulrich goes against all odds to fulfill his dream of selling silver crucifix necklaces to middle-class Americans during daylight hours, despite his literally being a vampire. This riveting 18-part documentary is full of twists and turns. Just when you think Count Ulrich has found a way around every obstacle, his coworker Donna brings her famous garlic cookies to work. Will Count Ulrich survive a workplace that for literally anyone else would be so boring they'd fantasize about the sweet release of death, yet for him is constantly threatening to end his existence? Or will he perish when Donna decides that the theme for the decor of the office is now wooden stakes for some reason? This series, tentatively titled The Unexpected Undead, will also follow the undead lives of Janet, a banshee who wants nothing more than to be a librarian, Charlotte, a Victoria's Secret model who also happens to be a werewolf, and Paul, a mummy who for some reason has chosen the very dangerous job of plumber.
Amazing. Let me just clarify. Is this a docuseries or is this a scripted show?
Right.
Because you're bringing up a lot of things that are sort of a mix of both.
Yeah. So like it's definitely like a documentary series that we like script, if that makes sense.
Totally understood. Okay. Yeah.
I just want to say this pitch has unlocked a lot of memories. I remember that before waking up in my car at 85 miles per hour, I had attended in 2008 the premiere of Twilight. You know, this whole thing is just triggering for me. So I just gotta say that you've just opened up a whole box of memories about that night that I'm still trying to discover, to be honest.
Do you feel that you are truly alive, or do you feel perhaps that you are a member of the undead
legion? At that moment when my car was careening at 85 miles per hour down the highway while the sun was reaching its fingers over the horizon, I felt my most alive that I've ever felt in my entire life. Yes.
Great. All right. Let's move on to the next pitch.
Julia, let's hear your pitch for round one.
Thank you, Sharks. You've heard of the show Love Island. A show where hot 20-somethings find love on an island. Well, be prepared when the CW and the ghost of Jeffrey Epstein's estate bring you the scariest show of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, Blood Island, where hot 20-somethings are trapped on an island that's surrounded by, you guessed it, blood. And we never reveal whose blood it is or where it came from. But let me tell you, there's a lot of it. The hot tub filled with blood. The Brita in the fridge filled with blood. The shower? Now that's water. I'm kidding, it's blood. There will be sexy connections made on this aforementioned Blood Island. There will be one winning couple who walks away with $20,000. There will be blood.
I mean, first question, yes. Most obvious question, where are we getting all this blood?
Okay, as I have mentioned, we never reveal where, even to you, I can't even tell you where we get this blood from. Let me tell you, there's so much of it. Cubic gallons of it.
Guess that satisfies that.
Great.
Is it human blood?
Again, I really can't get into where the blood is sourced from, but just know no Americans were involved in this blood.
I feel like no one is asking the obvious question of where we're getting this island.
So as I had mentioned, Jeffrey Epstein's estate is involved in the ghost of the estate.
Yes, I'm very familiar with.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you said the ghost of the estate?
Yeah, it's the ghost of the estate. You know when someone's murdered and doesn't kill themselves? What happens is a ghost is created.
So Jeffrey Epstein's ghost is an executive producer of the show.
As I said, I hate fighting.
Are we fighting right now?
It's the ghost of Jeffrey Epstein's estate.
Okay, any questions from our fellow pitchers?
So does this ghost, does it have like a physical form? Does it look like Jeffrey Epstein? Yes. Does it look like a collection of documents?
No, it's absolutely the ghost of Jeffrey Epstein dressed in like an olive green Hugo Boss suit.
Now, where can I get my hands on this fabulous suit?
There's a new Nordstrom that literally just opened kind of near Columbus Circle. Yeah.
I have to say, when you said the word Nordstrom, that really opened up a memory where I crawled back to the car that was aflame off the side of the road in the desert outside rural Reno, Nevada, 85 miles per hour. And I opened the trunk and there was a Nordstrom's bag with 1,500 gallons of blood in plastic sacks.
This is incredible. I think we've got a lot to consider. Yeah, thank you.
All right, now let's close out round one with Rod.
So my pitch is a spooky pop-up game show that nobody knows they're on, where contestants have their children kidnapped, and the only way to get them back is if they can successfully get their own parents to install an internet modem by instructing them over the phone. Hosted by Shannon Elizabeth, this show has everything. Timely optics when it comes to imprisoned children, former star of Ghost Ship, Shannon Elizabeth, and cute old people. Think of this show as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire meets Saw meets whatever the last thing Shannon Elizabeth did is, which according to her Instagram was see a sunset in Africa. And that is the show, which is currently untitled, bravely.
Can I suggest a title?
I beg.
Internet Postmortem, because you mentioned internet modems.
I thank you for recognizing that. I did mention,
and it's about
modems.
Death.
Yes, and it's also.
Do I need to explain it?
Literally, I got it.
Okay,
thank
cool.
Thank you so much.
I feel weird asking this. Like, who is this newcomer, Shannon Elizabeth? I don't. Yes. What has she been in? Is she a CW star? I don't know who she is.
Thank you for starting that conversation. Shannon Elizabeth is, and Brace. Thank you for that. That was actually her outside. She is actually an Uber driver that I had 2 weeks ago. But she has star-like qualities. And I just looked her in the eyes and I was like, you are the star of our potentially illegal reality show. And she said, get out of my car. And I said, I'll call you soon. And I'm going to stand by that. Thanks, Shannon.
Sorry, guys. One more thing. Rod, I feel like we need to up the stakes here.
Yeah.
What if the modem was a bomb? And if they don't set it up fast enough, everybody dies.
Yes.
Great. All right. Thank you so much, Rod.
Thank you, guys.
All right, judges. Not everyone can move on to round two. So who is getting promoted this time?
This was a really hard decision, as always. But you know what? It really came down to the fact that we just can't get this much blood. No matter how many near car accidents Matt gets into. Unfortunately, Julia is going to be joining us at the executive table.
Wow. Brave of you to make this decision.
Maybe, you know, we could think of some alternate, organic materials that we could fill an island with.
Well, I think the ghost of Jeffrey Epstein's estate could provide you with any liquid you wanted.
Fair enough.
All right, Julia, go join your new friends and forget you ever want to do anything creative with your life. All right, this time for round two, we're going to play a game we like to call But Make It Scary. Contestants, you're going to be given a hit show that our execs are looking to shake up a bit by cashing in on audience's love of horror. All you have to do is take the show and make it scarier than it already is. Matt, you're up first. Let's hear what show you got.
All right, my show is This Is Us. So the scary version is called This Was Us. And it's about the ghosts of the cast of This Is Us, not even the characters, the cast themselves, have all died in a tragic sangria accident incurred after a rap party for This Is Us. Now they're all dead, and they all have to figure out if this was the right move for their career or if they should have done something else for their last role before they died so that they could get some of that sweet posthumous praise like Heath Ledger. His ghost is an EP, and also Milo Ventimiglia is the most handsome ghost of them all.
All right. Well, I mean, this was us is riveting. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about this sangria accident?
So basically, after the rap party for This Is Us, the whole cast went out for a boozy brunch to celebrate at the hottest brunch spot in town, Bloody Mary's Crab Shack. And it's very famous for their Bloody Marys, their crab cakes, and their crab leg Bloody Marys. But the cast decided, you know what? We're stars and we deserve something special. So we're going to get the special double crabby sangria. And of course, that crab was contaminated because it contained some of that green poop, and they all died.
I just want to clarify. The cast went out to celebrate for brunch after the rap party.
Yes. They had a rap party all night long where they didn't drink because they decided the show is too serious. And then at the brunch after the rap party, they were like, fuck that. And that's when they decided to get loaded on crab sangria.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, Matt?
Who do you see hosting this show?
Well, obviously, this is going to be a host-driven show. You need somebody who's really going to deliver, somebody the kids love. So I'm thinking Jonathan Frakes. What you do is you reconstruct the set of Star Trek The Next Generation. You cram him into that outfit that doesn't fit him anymore. And then you tell him to explain the premise of This Is Us at the beginning of every episode.
I love it. I love it so much.
Thank you. Brent Spiner is also involved.
Thank you, Matt. All right. Pega, you're up next. What show are you going to but make it scary?
Right. So as we all know, it's 2012. It's the topic that's on everyone's mind is police brutality. And so this version of Paw Patrol is geared toward kids. And it really, it's the first and only kids show to talk about police brutality. You know me, I'm like all about like important television, like television that like educates children, educates the mind, like talks about social issues, and like police brutality is like a really big one. And who better to deliver that information to like very terrified 3 and 4 year olds than the like animated dogs that are policemen?
First of all, yes. Fabulous pitch. I can totally see it happening. My question is about the perps, if you will. So these dogs are policing human beings.
They're policing the whole world. It's a police state. We live in a police state. And this is political commentary.
But they're arresting humans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does that work? How does a dog arrest a person?
Well, I don't know if you heard about this, but very recently in the news, there was a German shepherd that brought down the head of ISIS.
Okay. Very good to know.
I'm sorry. Just follow up. You think that a dog arrested or killed the head of ISIS by itself?
Yeah.
Or
in the news. He got a medal.
No, okay.
But you mentioned police brutality.
Yeah.
So are the dogs biting the perps? Are they scratching them? Are they shooting them with
guns?
You
say perps, I say innocent bystanders.
These dogs are assaulting people is what you're saying.
Yeah, but like with the blessing of the state, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm like, how are they assaulting them? Like,
they're dogs.
They're like biting
and
scratching.
And they're policemen. They're dogs and they're policemen.
How do dogs shoot a gun?
Have you not seen Paw Patrol? Like, hello?
There's very few guns on Paw Patrol.
Yeah, but they're dogs. They're weaponized canines. Think about it.
Pega, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Last up for round two, Rod, what are you going to make scary for us today?
My pitch is for a reboot of the Rachel Ray Show, in which Rachel Ray discovers that the olive oil she has is not extra virgin. This show is famously the first American television show to be sex negative. And we are starting a dialogue, an important conversation through the horror genre about what virginity means both for people, but really the proxy for that is olive oil and the harrowing experience that Rachel Ray goes through as she is mid-cook, mid-pour even, and looks at the bottle, realizes it's not extra virgin, and what that means for the middle of the country, for Rachel Ray, and all the harrowing things that will follow. Thank you.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
What's the name of the show?
So surprisingly, the show is called The Rachel Ray Show still.
Is that going to get confusing with her daytime, you know, cooking show that exists now?
So what's interesting about this show is that it actually starts sort of randomly in the middle of a random Rachel Ray episode. So you're watching the Rachel Ray Show and suddenly something changes and you're like, okay, I'm watching the horror reboot right now, and then it switches back. So there is something where you have to really pay attention as a viewer.
Okay, so this is more of a factor of us sneaking onto the set of the Rachel Ray Show, replacing her olive oil
with non-extra virgin,
and then watching what happens.
And then,
yeah.
Yes,
Julia?
Hey, thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey. What I personally find the scariest thing about Rachel Ray is that she spells her name R-A-C-H-A-E-L, which I've never heard of. It's different. It scares me. Will that be addressed in this show?
Yes. So, you know, this entire reboot of the show is already understanding that most people understand that Rachel Ray is in the horror canon just by virtue of the spelling of her name. So there is a way in which already I assume our viewers are watching this knowing they're watching some type of horror genre television show. And this is just sort of upping the stakes in a way.
I feel like you didn't explain that well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
Oh, I hate to do this again, but this pitch is just reawakening a memory. When I went to the flaming car and found the 1,500 bags of blood,
yeah.
I also found a duffel bag full of 6 bags of Hot Cheetos, a ball gag, and a picture of Rachel Ray. I just don't know what was happening or why, but I did eat all the Hot Cheetos.
Incredible. I want you to know your story matters. We hear that, and we've received that.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod.
Thank you.
Now, one more of our contestants is getting promoted to the executive level and won't be moving on to round 3. Katla, who is that going to be?
Again, this was so hard. Oh, so hard. It was like one of the hardest decisions we've ever made. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really just boils down to the fact that we just don't think Rachel Ray needs any more TV time. So we're going to go ahead and promote Rod.
Thank you. I am humiliated in front of my community, family, and friends, and I am honored. Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Today's commercial idea was submitted by Gene in Philadelphia. Love the burning sensation of a shot of Fireball, but not the inevitable hangover? Turning down invitations to post-work drinks with the boss because of that pesky drive home? Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore, now that there's non-alcoholic whiskey from the people who brought you cocaine-free cocaine. Non-alcoholic whiskey gives you all the wincing and throat-scorching of regular whiskey without any of the pesky inebriating effects. So go ahead, order another round for the table. Non-alcoholic whiskey. It's like near beer, but somehow worse. Okay, now it's time for our lightning round. Matt, Pega, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
No.
Well, too bad. I have a list of show titles that the execs have greenlit sight unseen with no idea what the shows are about, so you're going to tell them. You'll each get 5 shows to explain, and then our judges, all 4 of them, will determine the big winner for this episode. Okay, Matt, you're up first. Your first show is Mask for Mask.
Mask for Mask is a bold new take on The Masked Singer, where the singers exchange masks during the course of the show on camera, so you see who they are, but then everybody has to go through the motions of guessing anyway, even though obviously that's Sinbad.
Okay, Pega, tell me about the show Design Demons.
This show is about a haunted house wherein the ghosts were like really, really OCD interior designers. The way that they haunt the house is by redesigning it. But they have such a good eye that the residents kind of don't really mind. It's not very spooky. It's kind of like, oh, I guess that does look better over there. Let's just keep it, I guess.
Thank you, Pega. All right, Matt, your second show is Basic Witch.
Basic Witch is just like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, except she is the living embodiment of the basic bitch stereotype. All she does is drink rosé, do hot yoga, and a third thing that is a basic witch stereotype.
Pega.
Yes.
Tell me about our new show, Good Morning Hades.
Good Morning Hades. Robin Williams is like in, you know, the underworld. Very sadly, I love him to death, but like he's in the underworld and he has like so much creative energy. He's trying to do like remakes of his old movies. And Good Morning Vietnam is one of them. So, you know, right now he's in production and he is looking for celebrities to die soon to star in this remake. So just let me know if like you have any celebrities that are like trying to die soon that might want to be in it.
Wow. Okay. All right. Matt, your next show is Fun Size Forensics.
Fun Size Forensics combines the fun of CSI with the fun of shows about kids, where dead children are autopsied to try and figure out what killed them. In most cases, it's just very sad things, you know, sudden infant death syndrome or, you know, drowning. The actual most common causes of child death. It's a comedy, though. I should stress that first and foremost. We have the funniest comedian in the world who's going to be our host, Jonathan Frakes. We have reconstructed the set of Growing Pains, which he was not on, but you know what? Nostalgia sells. So Jonathan Frakes, in eerie lighting and a fog machine on the set of Growing Pains, explains to you how real children die.
Pega, tell us about our brand new show, Walking Dead Babies.
So Walking Dead Babies is about Christopher Walken's... so he's had a number of run-ins with dead babies. He's paid for some abortions. He's really obsessed with cloning himself, and that's resulted in a lot of... this is like a lot of insider information. You guys not know this. So this is kind of just like a Dateline NBC piece about like what is going on with Christopher Walken. Like, why does he talk like that?
Okay, Matt. Your next show is Scared Straight.
All right, Scared Straight is a show executive produced by Mike Pence where homosexuals are taken to a camp where Mike Pence attempts to scare them using a bunch of haunted house techniques. He puts a sheet over himself like a ghost. He has a witch hat. He has a yarmulke he puts on, which of course for Mike Pence is extremely scary. Mike Pence attempts to scare these young men into becoming straight, or else they have to blow
him. Pega, tell us about American Hormone Story.
Not all of us, when we hit puberty, become murderous teenagers, but some of us do. And so this is a story about the Menendez brothers. And it investigates the role of human growth hormone in their murderous spree.
Okay, you each have one show left. Matt, your final show is Ghost Flippers.
Okay, Ghost Flippers is a show about flipping murder houses that are actively haunted, where you get the Property Brothers together, and the Property Brothers have to try and sell people on these houses where their families are definitely going to be killed by ghosts, and the Property Brothers say nothing about it.
All right. Pega, your final show for this episode is Bones.
Bones. Sounds familiar.
No, it's a brand new show.
Brand new show. Oh, okay. Yeah. So this show, it's actually about me, and it's about every time I have any sort of like sore, like joint, and I go to like WebMD, and I think I have bone cancer.
Thank you very much. That is the lightning round. Judges?
Wow. A lot to unpack here. Okay, so starting off, Matt, Ghost Flippers, I would 100% watch that show. It feels like something that already exists, but I can't put my finger on it. Julia?
I would like to piggyback onto you and yours and to say, for Ghost Flippers, I know you mentioned Property Brothers, but have you ever considered making it Property Brothers present Property Brother Ladies and having women as the twins?
Just to piggyback off of yours, what if it was Ghost Flippers and it was about dolphins?
Okay, just to piggyback off of that, Rod would like to say something.
Thank you. I'm going to piggyback off of that onto you and piggyback into something else, actually, as a formerly gay man who is now very straight. Scared Straight really spoke to me as somebody who is on the other side of that dilemma. I'm excited to announce an absolutely masked straight man. And so I'm excited that story finally gets told. So I just want to celebrate you for that pitch.
First of all, I want to tell you thank you. Thank you very much. We're doing something very important and powerful.
Yes.
And to answer all of the other many questions that I've received, I don't see any reason why Ghost Flippers couldn't combine all of these ideas. So first of all, it features the Lady Property Brothers. Zoe and Emily Deschanel in this version voice CGI dolphins who flip your house that will later murder you. And right before you die, Mike Pence jumps out and says, congratulations, you're straight. But then he has to leave because mother isn't there.
I just want to point out that Scared Straight was a different one of your pitches. So you did need to combine that one together, but you did. Okay, shifting over to Pega's pitches. Design Demons, very into this pitch. What do you think? Who do you see playing the ghosts?
I honestly see it as a rotating cast of like anyone who's been disgraced from HGTV.
So I have a comment, a very long comment, and then a question.
I love that.
So years ago, I was in Reno, And I was driving down the highway and I saw this insane man coming towards me. It must have been 85 miles an hour, deranged. And if I had moved half an inch, he would have hit me. Mm-hmm. And I would
That's
have died.
To all of us.
Honestly, let me finish. I was on my way to Reno to see Robin Williams perform. And as someone who made it to the show, who tried to park my car, but the valet said, "We're full. You have to go somewhere else to park it." So I never saw Robin Williams, even though I had a ticket. To hear you say that he's in hell.
I said he's in the underworld.
For you to say that he is in hell, as someone who almost saw him perform in Reno, I just want to say I'm angry.
Thank you so
much. And I rescind my question. Just a comment.
Okay, that's a great comment. I just want to clarify that in Greek mythology, all dead souls go to the underworld. Thank you.
Wow, guys, that got intense. I'm here for it. My question's a little less intense. I just wanted to know, like, what's Christopher Walken like?
You know, I think that, like, in media, like, in his roles, he comes off as, like, quirky and weird, but in, like, in a charming way, right? But actually, he's just quirky and weird in a spooky way. Like, he's definitely had some Natalie Wood shit going on, if you know what I mean.
Cool. Wow. Okay, we have a lot to consider, you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, that means there's only one thing left to do, and that's crown this episode's winner. So, Katla, who's taking home the prize tonight?
I mean, this was almost impossible to decide. We've got Canadian Horror Story on one side. We've got Count Ulrich on one side. We had lots of, stories about Reno that frankly brought up more questions than answers.
So many questions.
And as tough as it was, we narrowed it down to our winner tonight, Pega.
Hey,
you've been greenlit.
You win the prize.
Enjoy that apple. What are you thinking right now?
I'm thinking, like, this is for Natalie Wood. This is for just anyone who has been victimized by a Christopher Walken type or Christopher Walken himself. Like, thank you so much for this. This is a pop.
All right. Thank you, Pega. Thanks again for tuning into Bad Pitches. Be sure to subscribe and check out new episodes every other Monday. If you like what you hear, leave us a review, give us 5 stars, tell your friends anything that you think says, hey guys, nice podcasting. And if you've got an idea for a bad product we could advertise during our commercial breaks, let us know on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Bad Pitches TV, and we might just pick yours. I'm Ned Airbar. See you next time on Bad Pitches.